boast. Reason to boast. Last week, I took us to a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9, where the Lord was saying, Jeremiah chapter 9 from verse 23 to 25. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 25. The scripture says there, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24. "But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth." That's the scripture I want us to look at, Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. "Let him who boasts, boast in this one fact, that he understands and knows me, says the Lord." The Lord says, he has given you permission to boast. You know, the fall of man has made us so warped that it is the things that God does not want us to do, those are the things we love to do. The things he wants us to do, we don't do them. And most times, the things that are even bad for us, those are the things we love to do. It's all because of our fallen nature. But here, the scriptures is saying, God says, I permit you to boast. But what you must boast about is the fact that you know me. You understand me, and you know me. I was trying to find out the meaning of understanding. And the dictionary defines understanding to be thoroughly familiar with. To be thoroughly familiar with. To apprehend clearly the character, nature, and subtleties of. So, God is saying, I permit you to boast of the fact that you are thoroughly familiar with me. That you clearly apprehend my nature and my character. I permit you to boast anywhere you go of the fact that you are familiar with me. I permit you to boast of the fact that you thoroughly understand my nature and my character. My ways. You know, it's one thing to say, I know that man. It's another thing for the wife of such a man or a husband of such a woman to say, oh, he's my husband. We've been married for 40 years now. Or she's my wife. We've been married for 30 years. I can assure you that the knowledge that spouses have of each other for 30 years is not the same that somebody who you meet in church, dressed for church service, and you come every Sunday for 30 years. It's not the same knowledge that you have. There comes a knowledge and understanding that you have out of familiarity with. And God is saying, boast about the fact that you are familiar with me. You know me intimately. You understand me. Sometimes, you know, when people know themselves, even when they don't say something, if you don't know the person and you are standing and the person didn't say anything, the person who understands the person will catch the language that has been spoken. Without a word. Am I communicating? God is saying, boast of the fact that you understand me. And I was looking at some scriptures to find out. I found in the life of Paul something Paul said in Acts chapter 27. And he said, the angel of the Lord stood by me last night. The angel of the Lord whom I serve, whose I am. Paul could relate with God to that level where he says, I serve this God. I am his. There appeared unto me last night the angel of the Lord whom I serve, whose I am. So, I found that, first of all, there is this knowledge of the fact that for you to properly understand God, you have to, first of all, be in relationship with him. You have to know him. There are stories that, you know, may have been told you when you were growing up. There can be impressions and perceptions you have about God that you may not have examined up to this moment. All that you just carry about God on that aspect is what mom and dad told you. You've never stepped back to examine it. So if I ask you right now, how does God look like? When you close your eyes, and you are praying, who do you see? What's the character that you see? What's your conclusion? What's your standing as far as his love is concerned? His power is concerned? His ways of doing things. What perception do you have of this God that we gather to worship every day? Your own perception, your understanding of him. Let me quickly chip this one in. I knew my father, my earthly father, maybe for about how many years? Before he died, maybe about 40. When I got married, the very day I got married, he loved me. My father loved me among all his children. I was his beloved. I was living with him before my wedding. And because I was a Christian and he was not the one who recommended my wife for me, he wasn't a believer. So I was living with him. I knew him. And I read in scripture, so shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one. I knew that my father by his upbringing and tradition. If I brought my wife to live with us in the house, at 5 a.m. every morning, he would expect my wife to wake up, sweep the whole compound, prepare breakfast for everybody. That's what will make her a good wife. And to be a good wife, she has to satisfy everybody in the family. Yeah. She has to be pleasing. You know, she has to be. Yes. And that's my father's understanding of a good wife. I knew that. And my father's understanding of marriage is, if this wife is not good, kick her out, get another one. But here was I, a Christian. Here was I, a Christian. In choosing this wife, I knew my father does not know the best wife for me. I had read my scriptures to find that a good wife is from the Lord. I prayed, and I was sure I was led to meet her. So now, I knew that once married, I am married. As a Christian, I can't be hopping from one to the other. So we were not going to be operating, myself and my father were not going to be operating in the same realm. If I left my wife here, I was going to subject her to something that was not going to be good for her or for myself. And secondly, I also knew my father. If he's testing you, you may not even know that you're under an examination. You will fall 10 times before you realize it was a test. I was not going to be around after the marriage. I was going to go for 1 year youth service, you know, somewhere. If I left my wife for him, he would test her. I knew this girl for some time, at least by our courtship. If my father tests this girl, she will fail. Because she will not even know it was a test. And when I come back, my father will say, I don't think this is a good girl for you. You better start to look for another. So I told myself, in agreement with scripture, a man shall leave his father and his mother. So I told my father, I said, you know what? When I get married, we're not going to live with you. He thought, an adult, he looked at me, he said, I don't have the economic means to even live on my own as at now. So he felt, maybe he's just joking. So in preparation for the wedding, I was preparing to move away from this place to the other apartment somewhere we have in town. That's where I'm going to live. I tried and tried and tried all while preparing for the wedding, you know, we're praying for movement. I finally was able to move everything on Friday night. Wedding is Saturday morning. I got my younger brother involved. He moved everything. And so I still got myself ready. Eventually, I got myself ready from that house to church. So when we were coming from church, the driver asked me, where do we go? I said, my new apartment anyway. So we went to my new apartment. And all the guests who came to see my father, they went to the house. Where is the new wife? Myself and my wife were in our new apartment. My father became mad. He was not happy. Pastor Matthew, my best friend, and another person, he called them and said, he told them, and they knew he loved me. They came to approach me, different occasions. I said, you know what? He's my father. I know him.
I don't hate him. I have decided, if I don't leave my father at this time, when am I going to leave him? Number two, I am the one to present my wife to my father. If I knew inside me, if I subject her to my father's test, we have laid a foundation for failure. After Sunday worship, we go and visit him. Huh? We are visitors. We just visit him. We go back. He was angry. He didn't show it, but he was reserved. But we knew we are operating from love. We knew better. Cut long story short, before he died, of all his children, myself and my wife were the best that he had, that he's proud of, as far as relationship is concerned. So I'm saying, I knew my father. I knew what he could do. I knew what he could not do. Do you know your father? What do you know of him? What can he do? What will he not do? What does he like? What does he hate? God says, if you know this of me, be proud. If you are truly sure you know me, you understand me, be proud. And look at some few things I found that, I don't know, in the few years I have been a Christian, some few things I know about God I want to share with us. One of them is the fact that God does not see as man sees. Scripture says that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God's eyes, in fact, can I remind you that he created eyes? Do I need to remind you that God created our eyes? You may not have sat down to examine into what it means to have eyes. And the miracle of this organ that can see. You understand? I discovered that God, who made eyes, the scripture says somewhere, do you think he that made eyes, he will not see? I also examined inside me. I found that the eyes of God, they are not like my own. I was imagining one day, I realized that the eyes of God, they are more powerful than CT scan. You know, you do X-ray. A CAT scan, thank you. X-ray is different from CAT scan, right? God's eye sees sharper than CAT scan. Have you thought about that? When the doctors look at you, they see the physical. They say, okay, we want to see what's inside. There are some they use just X-ray to say, oh, this is it. Sometimes they say, no, this one pass ordinary X-ray. We now subject you to another type of machine that reveals even more. MRI sometimes. Huh? God's eyes are sharper than all of that. You know how I know? If he made man, who could make that? So because of that, I don't try to hide my sin when I come to him. I don't even try to explain. Because the motive, even before the whatever, the motive, he saw it before the action took place. I have come to understand that God sees. I also discovered that he knows. He knows. Story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Sold the property, held some money back, and said, God, that's all. Nobody forced you to bring the whole thing. It was yours. Nobody forced you. God showed that he knows. I also found that God specializes in using the weak things to confound what the world says is strong. When people are boasting of their strength, God specializes in, it doesn't boast in number. It doesn't boast in whatever, you know, we just found, just not in money, not in anything. In fact, places where he shows up are places where the glory will be, it will be known that he is the one who is at work. Scripture is littered with many stories of that. David came to Goliath and said, today, the whole world will know that God does not save by shield and by spear. That God said, that's what I've been looking for, a place to show myself. And so, when the man saw the little boy and he came with all the shield and the spear and everything, God used just a sling. Gideon got 30,000 soldiers together. And he felt, yeah, now we are ready. And God said, there are too many. He said, trim them down. How do I do it, Lord? Just make an announcement. If you are afraid, if you newly married a wife, if you built a house, you have not dedicated it, go home. 22,000 soldiers went home. These ones were coming to fight. And Gideon was thinking, okay, maybe with 10,000, that should be okay. God said, there are still too many. Okay, let me help you trim it down. It doesn't make reason to trim 30,000, 32,000 soldiers down to 300. 300. That's God. So he does not, it's not my understanding. I come to realize that it doesn't take number for him, not with God. I also found that God desires that we show mercy. God is not just looking for, as far as relationship is concerned, he's looking beyond justice. I found that God is looking beyond justice. You did this to me, therefore this is your portion. That's justice. But God is looking at, okay, he wronged you, justice has been served. What's your stand? That serves him right. God is saying, if I deal with you and just end in justice, you are nowhere. I desire you to operate beyond justice to mercy. Show mercy. How many times must my brother offend me and I forgive him? 40 times, 70 times 7? Jesus said, nah. All the time. Every day. 419 times in a day. Even if you are counting that, there must be something wrong with you. Forgive him. Forgive him. Forgive him. I found that God is the only just judge. He sees me as trusting him when I leave justice in his hands. And so when two of his children disagree, and one is trying to use the little, the world call it smartness, in his coconut here. One, there are two children of God. One of them is thinking that I'm smarter than him. And in that process, he takes the bigger chunk of the deal. I found that there's God in heaven who looks at these two children of his, and the other one, realizing that this brother has done this to him, everything inside him says, take him to court. This is not right. Fight. And maybe he remembers, if we start fighting now, we might drag the name of our father on the mud. In that case, because of my father and his name, I allow myself to be cheated. I found that God will not leave it that way. He will go and take from that smart son what he took out of smartness. God will make sure that he doesn't get what he's looking for. He will make sure he doesn't get what he's looking for by that cheating. He will take it. And this one who decided to be a fool, God will give him more than everybody thought he got. I see that of God. I don't know whether you have. I also realize that when I need him to do something, I pray, and he does not do it the way I want. And that it is because, not that he's not there, because he loves me more than myself, he sees the bigger picture than myself. There was this write-up that somebody wrote. He said, do you hear about the little boy who complained to his grandmother that things were bad? He was in trouble at school. His dad forgot his allowance, and his best friend went fishing without him. His grandmother, who was baking a cake at the time, listened patiently, then asked him if he'd like a snack. Sure, he replied. So she said, here, have some cooking oil. No way, he said. Well, how about a couple of raw eggs? Gross, he exclaimed. What about some baking soda? She asked. Grandma, those are all yucky, he said. Yes, she replied. On their own, each of them seem pretty bad. But when you put them together, they make a great cake. Sometimes you ask God for one thing, and he gives you another. Because while you think you know what you want, he knows what you need. We are like the little girl who prayed, God, I thank you for my new baby brother. But what I really wanted was a puppy. The truth is, God knows more about what you need than you do yourself. Listen, he knows us far better than we know ourselves. Many of us trust ourselves so much, trust our intelligence so much. It's better to trust God and doubt your own reasoning. Amen? I found that all of these, time will fail us. I also found that God, when I've come to see that God revealed something in scriptures that is invisible to us. And that's this world of the spirit. where there is an enemy. What we sometimes blame God for, if we do know there is an enemy, we will step back and find out who is at work. Job was a righteous man. There was no reason why he should have a problem. Naturally, you would think that because you do good, only good should happen to you. Is that not normal? Not in this world. Get ready sometimes. When you have been very, very careful, you do your own thing, you are very confident and sure that, okay, I try not to hurt anybody, I try to do everything right. It does not mean that because of that, all things will just be right. Okay, no pressure, no trials, no troubles. I found that God sometimes stepped back and allowed the enemy to sometimes strike. But only on the basis of the fact that he will use that. The end result always, always with God. End result always. While in the process, I feel I cannot take this any more day. I'm tired. I'll give up. I want to die. You will not die. But at the end, when it's all over, you will look back and find, I didn't see this. This was what God was working out. In fact, maybe if this hadn't happened, I don't think I would have been here. There's no way you would have gotten there. So I found that God will sometimes step aside and allow the author of evil, Satan, to sometimes do his work, because this is his time. A time is coming when that being will be out of the picture. And sometimes the thought we have in our heads about perfection will be there. Amen? Finally, all of these, you won't be able to get to know these if you have not chosen to walk by faith. By faith. By faith. Scripture says, he that cometh to him must believe. If you are going to walk with God, you have to believe that he is. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we have you as a father, the one who has drawn us, called us, invited us into a very close and intimate relationship with himself by the death of Jesus. You have made it possible for we sinful human beings to be able to fellowship with a holy God and to be able to know you intimately. Lord, we are praying. The scriptures told us that we should grow in our knowledge of you. None of us today can say, Lord, I know you. I know all I need to know about you. I understand every move you make. And therefore, I can even speak your voice 100% all the time. But Lord, you, as we grow, as the days go by, continue to do things, show us things that we have never known before. Therefore, Lord, this morning we are praying, draw each of us into a closer relationship with you. That, Lord, as the days go by, we'll be able to sometimes, even on issues where you might be silent, we will be able to speak your mind, knowing that we understand you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.